Let us unite our voices for the Lord's prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, it comes up on the calendar once in a while that, are you comfortable, are you guys comfortable there, or do you want to move to a pew? It doesn't matter to me. You can move around if you want to.
We're fine.
You're fine. I just wanted to offer them a chance to move around. It's one of the reasons I became a pastor, because then when I'm up front, I get to move around. I don't have to sit still and confuse them. That's why I was an art teacher also. The art teacher gives out the directions and does a demonstration, and then the students get to work, and you get to walk around and talk to them and help them with their projects. As this comes up on the lectionary every once in a while, about the twins that fight over everything. They were fighting in the womb. And yes, you know that's the story of Jacob and Esau. So you have Isaac, who's the son of Abraham, who's their dad. I don't know how old Isaac is. It may say, but I didn't write it down. So I must not have considered it real important. What's important about this type of ancient family story about how faith was a part of doing what was right. And here we have an unusual family where Isaac, son of Abraham, he's got these two boys. He has a favorite wife, and then he has another wife, Rebecca, and she has the twins. So anyway, it said, now when I read this, I've already not told you something that may or may not be important. But Isaac is, it says here, it says these are the descendants of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebecca. He was 40 years old when he got married. I can only speak for myself. I would have thought he'd been old enough to know better. But anyway, he got married. That's not in the Bible. That's just a gem. And I don't even have my pastor hat on when I say that. Rebecca's the daughter of Bethuel and the Aramean, of Padan Aram, sister of Laban, the Aramean. Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord granted his prayer, and his wife Rebecca conceived. The children struggled together within her. Dysfunctional family is nothing new. This goes back many thousands of years. The exact date, please, I don't have that written in. I don't know that we know the exact date. So, as we continue on, these children struggled in the womb. And she said, if it is to be this way, why do I live? Rebecca is unhappy with this pregnancy. So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, and two people born of you shall be divided. The prophecy continues. The one shall be stronger than the other. The elder shall serve the younger. Yes, as I pause there, that's sort of an unusual approach to this sort of situation. Because we're going to talk about birthrights, and we're going to talk about how this fits together, and how the building of the ancient faith of the Hebrews, which leads to who we call the Jews today, when her time to give birth was at hand, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red, all his body like a hairy mantle, so they named him Esau. Afterwards, his brother came out with his hand gripping Esau's heel, so he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. Now, so one of them's a red and kind of a woolly kid. I don't know how to, it just seems like an odd way to describe a newborn baby as being red. I've seen at least two newborns, and they're all red, the ones I've seen. So, anyway, when the boys grew up, Esau was a skilled hunter, a man of the field. So we have Esau. He's the guy that knows how to use the sling, a spear, a javelin, and the, probably didn't say anything about bows, but he probably can shoot a bow. So, here we go. I don't know, it doesn't say anything about swords, so it doesn't mean he's a warrior. But here we go. Jacob was a quiet man living in tents. I'm not sure what that means exactly. Maybe he was a manager of how the sheep were taken care of. It's not very much of a description. It does say that Isaac loved Esau because he was fond of game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Now we all know that in a dysfunctional family, moms and dads and brothers and sisters, they all seem to have favorites. They juggle this, their passions and their feelings and their desires, and there's all sorts of struggles. We might even call it office politics. How many of you have heard? None of us work in offices. Do any of us work in? You have, but you're a librarian. You work with the books. And we're proud of you. Actually, I look out across here, the vast majority of us are retired. Except for these guys, they're all kids. Oh, and Teresa's still, you're still building a part of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're praying for them. Now, here we get into the interesting part of this dysfunctional family. Why is this included in the Bible? It's included in the Bible, as far as I can tell, and this is from Genesis chapter 25. It's included in the Bible, as far as I can tell, to give us some background into how these individuals were interwoven. Because if you read and study this all the way through, which I advise, take some time when you can do some reading in private. I even advise to read it out loud so that you see it, you think it through, you speak it, and then turn up your hearing aids so you can hear it when you're speaking to yourself. So if you read it aloud, here's what happens. Once, when Jacob was cooking the stew, Esau came in from the field, and he was famished. Esau said to Jacob, "Let me eat some of that red stuff, for I am famished." Sounds like it was chilly, doesn't it? Therefore, he was called Edom. Jacob said, first, sell me your birthright. A birthright in that day meant that you would receive a double portion of the initial setup of the inheritance when the father passed away. That would have been, in this case, Isaac. So, that's really an expensive meal in this situation, because the birthright also includes the divine blessing from God. Because Isaac had that, just like Abraham had it, that divine blessing from God. So, Esau said, I'm about to die of what use is a birthright to me? Esau doesn't take his birthright very seriously, and it may be that there was only a couple hundred sheep out in the pasture at this point. He wasn't really worried about the inheritance. Jacob said, swear to me first. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. You know, I ask the Lord to bless the reading of his word there, so that we can kind of imagine in our own minds what's going on. You have Abraham and Sarah. They had enough problems. Oh my goodness. And we studied them a few weeks back. So here we are with Isaac, who had some problems. And there's no indication that he's communicating very much with Ishmael, his older brother. So, Isaac is a son of promise, and now he has two sons, Esau, firstborn, Jacob, the second child, second twin. Esau sells his birthright for a bowl of soup and a loaf of bread. The value of the birthright, I've mentioned that. And as we dwell on what's going on here, we discover that Jacob has acquired the birthright. Now, there was nothing in writing that we're aware of at this point. Does Rebecca know about this? Yes. Is Rebecca coaching Jacob? I believe so. And a little later on in the development of this family struggle, which takes a lot of study. This is the kind of thing that you finish up at a round table where you have coffee and donuts and cheesecake. Listen, I'm getting hungry, so I got some. We know today, upon looking at this, that what a struggle between the two brothers. And there's no mention of other children. None whatsoever. So, it was a very close family. We look around us, we hear of dysfunctional family all the time. We hear of kids that don't want to grow up. We hear about divorce in our own family and in people around us. We hear about horrible accidents where someone's left by themselves to raise children. We know of the grandparents that are raising children. We hear about these things all the time. And I have a son who talks about family relations, and he says it like this. When I ask him a question about a family member, he says, oh, well, we love them, but we're not close. And lots of times, we have family, cousins, brothers and sisters even, that we communicate with. It's easy to send a text message, call them on the phone, send them an email. I communicate with two of my granddaughters on a Zoom call. and our one daughter, we do Zoom calls together. Now, I have another granddaughter that's super busy, so all I ever do is just drop her a note. And yes, when I drop the granddaughters a note, I drop all three of them a note at the same time. Yes, I fold up a crisp new $20 bill and put it in every note. And how many of you think I hear from them immediately when they open that card? Raise your hand. No, I never hear from them. I just have to hope it gets there. I quit sending the checks. You know why? They never catch them. I know when I was a child, when Grandma sent me a check, before the envelope was hit the trash can, I'm at the bank cashing that check. Different times. So, many of us are well aware that dysfunctional family is everywhere. It's a part of the faith. Family members don't agree. We can study the book of Revelation and come up with lots of family, dysfunctional family. We know that they're all around us. You see, I'm going to bring this to an end right now. So, transitioning to today, love your family. Jesus told us to love our neighbors. He just took it for granted that we were going to love our family. He didn't think he had to remind us to love our family. Well, I'm reminding you that our family is our neighbors also. So love your family, love your neighbors. Remember what Jesus said about the great, great commandment. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and your soul. Second slide, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your family. And be as careful over your family relationships as you are over your own health needs and the health needs of people around you and for those that you care about within the community. And another way of saying you care about is you demonstrate love. How do you demonstrate love? For me, you make a pot. I want to remind everybody, like I've reminded you for years, I only like two kinds of pie, hot and cold. Lukewarm, no. Either warm it up or have it chilled. I'm good. God's creation belongs to us all. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we've studied about Jacob and Esau. We understand Esau's thinking. He was hungry. We're all hungry. Lord, let us be ever vigilant in loving our family, communicating with our family. And Lord, thank you that we have a church family too. We are all brothers and sisters together in the service of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And God's people all said together,
amen.
We're going to sing. This is a fun one. I'm not real familiar with it. It's 2107 in the black paperback hymnal. 2107, Wade in the Water.
Yes, and some instruction. We're going to do the chorus. We're all going to do verse 1 together. It says leader. We're all going to do it together. And then the chorus. Third Capital Saxes are joining the worship team. So let's have fun.
Thank you. Amen.
And enjoy third comfortable Saxons.